Hello and welcome to the Men's Lifeline Academy, where we bring on stellar men, men who have a desire to make an impact, men who are helping men become the best version of themselves as they introspect, look within themselves of the areas that they needed to improve upon. And today, I got a special teammate, someone we just recently connected with. We have Ben, who is a man who has a beautiful story about how he just wanted to make an impact in his own life, get healthier for him and his wife. And today he's going to share that story. So Ben, welcome to the podcast.
Well, thanks, man. I'm really glad to be here. I have a podcast of my own, actually, but I've never been on someone else's. So this is technically a first for me. So it's a pleasure to be here and help you get closer to that goal of number or 50 before the end of the year. So,
well, I appreciate you for saying that. And I just love bringing on people who have never been on a podcast before, because a lot of them say, you know what? I've never been on a podcast before. I don't know how it's going to go. Most of them do a stellar job. So with you,
yeah,
I've seen your tweets. I've seen your ex post. I have no worries about it. And I get them, we could also talk about a little bit more about your podcast, since we always love to promote people on here who have that desire, that heart to help other people. So, Finn, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, sure. Absolutely. So my name's Finn. That's what I go by online, at least. And I'm 29 years old. I have a wife and a dog, and I live in the Atlanta area, Atlanta, Georgia. So I'm around that area, and I've been here my whole life. Grew up in the same area I'm living in now. My wife and I actually met in high school, so
school sweethearts. We don't hear about those days anymore.
Yeah, we have been together 11 years, and married for three, but we've been together on a journey for 11 years now. So it's been a long time. Really gotten to know each other a lot and watch each other change a ton over the past 11 years, because we were children when we met. So
literally,
yeah. I met when I was 17 and she was 15. I turned 18 later that year. And then, you know, we have been together. I mean, there, you know, college, there was some rough spots. And when I went off to school and then she went off to school, we each had our little breaks, but they were good for us as people to develop and to realize that, hey, you know what? We actually love each other. And so, like, we're going to make this work. So,
well, especially with a couple year age difference,
yeah,
that your parents allowed each other to date each other.
Yeah, her mom was a little nervous. Her dad wasn't as nervous, but her mom was. I remember going to pick her up for our first date, and I went to the door, and she had told me later, she's like, you know, if you didn't come to the door, my mom wasn't going to let me go with you. So that was like, you know, one of those things.
And that's spoken to be like a true gentleman that the mom's looking for, because that's how it used to be. You used to go to the door and walk her out, open the car door. I mean, those are all classic signs of being a good man, being a chivalrous man, someone who cares versus, just get in the car, let's go. Uber ride.
Yeah, right. I ordered you an Uber, so I don't even have to come get you. yeah, absolutely. And when I have children, if I have a daughter, I will make sure that she knows that she should not be with any man or boy who doesn't respect her in that way. If I have a son, I'll make sure that he does those things. So, you know, those are things I'm looking for. But our first date, I have a funny story. You said, like, open the door for her. My car was this, like, really old, I think it was a 1998 Ford Explorer. I loved it so much, but the passenger doors, both the front and the back, didn't work. So I actually had to open my door, the driver's seat door, and have her climb over my seat into the other door. It was a good time.
Wow. That's entrance to make.
Right. You know, I had to open the door for her because she had to climb over my seat.
you're lucky she even did that for you.
Right. Here we are now.
11 years later. So being beautiful, having bright smiles and switch the smile that you just have, just like brings up that you just bring back that memory.
Yeah. Yeah. It's good stuff. So, I mean, other than that, I'm a SOP by trade in real life. I'm a software engineer. I write code. I do design for, you know, like different projects that we're working on and things like that. And yeah, I like to golf. That's like my hobby that I want to get better at and things like that. So other than that, I'm just trying to spread positivity, like you said, on X. And if people want to follow me, that's great. If they don't, that's fine too. I'm not like trying to make a living on there yet. It would be cool one day, but right now I'm just kind of establishing myself in an online presence and hopefully encouraging people along the way. So
that's a great kind of segue. Is what led you to going from a software engineer to taking a step above that and want to make more of a positive impact, especially if you're, whether you work from home, go to an office and write code. Correct me if I'm wrong, but are you around I can't imagine you being around a lot of people since it's mostly just, you know, tracking, putting in data entries and things like that.
Right. I have an office around here. I'm a hybrid employee technically. So like, but there's no requirements of how often I need to go in or what days I have to go in and things like that. So it's nice, but I go in sometimes more often than others. And I do see people when I'm there, like my teammates go in too and things along those lines. And so, you know, when I'm there, I do try to be a positive influence. I really think that something you mentioned is a smile. Like, you know, I try to always be smiling. And when I talk to people, I try to be genuine because, you know, you never know what someone's dealing with. And so I just try to be a positive influence. I guess, you know, something that I should have mentioned first and foremost is like, I'm a big believer. Like I'm, you know, Jesus saved me. I'm a believer through and through. And so like, I really try to make sure that I'm filled up every morning and through my personal quiet time so that when people experience me physically, hopefully that I am just like radiating Christ's love in some way, even if I don't have to say anything, just my smile, my presence, somehow people can feel some type of comfort or that something's different about me that makes them feel better. So that's, you know, when I get to see people, but I also like to work from home because I have a pretty good home setup and everything. So, you know, but even going out into the stores and stuff like that, I try to do that too. The transition though, I'm sorry to actually answer your question now. I actually growing up wanted to be a pastor. I went to school to college originally. I started as a computer science major at a state school here, and I failed my first programming test like terribly. It was so hard. So I dropped a class immediately and changed my major, changed it to marketing. And then I was in a fraternity and I was, you know, living not my best life and stuff like that. So I actually ended up losing the scholarship I had at school and was kind of, you know, like thrown up in the air. And I was interning at a church that summer that all that happened. And I was like, you know what, like, maybe this is what God's calling me to, is to actually, you know, go into ministry. And I had been thinking about that for a while. I changed my decision in high school to go to college because I grew up not very wealthy. My family was, you know, pretty poor, I guess you could say, especially compared to the other people living in the area that I lived in. And so I was like, you know what, I don't want my kids to have to grow up the way that I did. Even though like my family was full of love and joy and I had a great life growing up, I just wanted to provide more stability for my future kids. So I decided to try to find a job that would pay me a lot of money out of college. And someone said to me in a Bible study, like, you don't have to be in ministry to do ministry. And I, you know, that kind of really changed my perspective on things. So after I lost that scholarship, I ended up transferring to a school and I finished my degree online, getting my undergrad in leadership and ministry. And so was fully intent to become a pastor, a student pastor, something along those lines. And God opened different doors. Like I started working doing my degree online. So I had a bunch of extra time because I didn't have to be anywhere specifically. So I started working and watching someone's kids for them while I was to make some extra cash while I was in school. And that led to a full-time position at her company under her department. And so I started working in the corporate world. And, you know, at that point I was started doing better financially for myself, but I just kept going with it. And then I realized that, hey, what I'm doing is not actually very fulfilling. And so I looked into options to go back to school to get my master's in software engineering, just full circle. And so I did that and ended up transitioning from HR to software engineering. But I still just love people, and I still love interacting with people and being a positive influence. And ultimately, I would love to get to a point where I'm working for myself, either helping people or, you know, creating websites maybe, or building some application that with some friends. There's all these things that I'm working on, but just to get to a point where I'm in control of my time so that I can spend more time in my community with my family, doing things for people or with people and stuff like that. So that's kind of why I started transitioning to trying to make content online and establishing myself in that way. So long-winded answer, but yeah.
No, but I just love hearing answers that come full circle, right?
Yeah.
Started in software engineering, failed that big test. It's like, okay, that didn't work out. Let's go to ministry. Then people providing a lot of wisdom, like you can still do ministry without being in ministry. And that's what Absolutely. I think people kind of miss at times, that you can still be a positive force and show it. And there is something like when you're full of the spirit, you know, full of life and everything, people can tell a difference. And sometimes that's actually more to your benefit, because then people will come to you and ask you, hey, like, there's just something different about you. There's just something like special about you. You know, I got something in your eyes, something that just draws me in. And sometimes that's better.
Yeah.
Because then they're opening the door and they can't get mad how you answer.
Right. Exactly.
Because they asked. Right.
Yeah.
And so, and that's where God really talks a lot about, is that he looks at the heart.
Right.
Now it's on your body, you know, how you conduct your life, how do you live your life is always what you're working on. I can see that because, I mean, you started the community group for the Luke chapter for, you know, for the just year of December as a way to celebrate CRISPR and things like that. So you're doing a lot. So how's your response been in kind of being like a creator, right? Being someone who's actually putting themselves out online, because that's not always easy, especially with your mission and everything and what's on your heart.
Yeah. You know, I try to be authentic. That's like my big thing, is I want to be authentic. I want to have authentic faith, and I want to be boldly different. And sometimes boldly different is different than most Christians. It's definitely different than secular world and people who are not believers. But when I was in college and I was in that fraternity, you know, I came in with a very strong faith. Like I was left high school for, I came from a very good youth group with great leaders, and we did a lot of things together. We played tons of sports. We lived life together, and we lived a normal life together. When I went to school, I tried to get into campus ministries and things like that. And everyone there to me was weird. Like all the campus ministries, they were like, they just wanted to sit around in a circle in the green and play guitar. And some people played spike ball and things like that. And I like that, but like they just over spiritualized everything, in my opinion. And, you know, I think there's a time and a place for that. But I was more of the mindset like, hey, like I live differently, but I'm still like a normal person kind of thing. So the way that they were kind of pushed me away from that. And I joined my fraternity and I was enjoying hanging out with those guys. But, and I, at first I was doing a lot of good work for the kingdom. I was getting those guys into Bible studies, and I was hosting one in my dorm room and things like that.
Wow.
It started out good, but as I continued down that path, like people were treating me differently and would stop doing things when I walked in the room, or wouldn't invite me to certain things because they didn't want me around while they were drinking or doing whatever. And I got tired of that too. So I, you know, I ran away from my faith a little bit. I never lost my faith per se, but I stopped doing things that I should have been doing. I started drinking. I started hanging out with them. I started trying to act more like them so that they would accept me a little more. And that's something that we all go through. Everyone.
Exactly.
At some point in life, we are come to a crossroad where we can either fit in with the world or we can, stay true to ourselves and who we are. So at that point in time, I tried to fit in with the world. I tried to fit in with those groups, that group of guys that I was friends with and trying to be a part of. And a few of them are still some of my closest friends. Like one of them was the best man at my wedding. And,
oh, nice.
So I made good friendships and I still enjoy seeing all those guys today. But when I changed to be like them, they still treated me differently. And so I was like, you know what? I threw away a lot of who I was trying to be fit in with these guys, but they still treated me differently. But I did notice that because I was living more like them in most ways, they were open to talking to me about their faith and things like that. And so while I went too far in one way, I did realize that most people that you want to minister to don't want to talk to someone who's this holy roller, Bible thumping, annoying person. I've had more genuine conversations with people about their faith, about Jesus, because I've dropped an F-bomb in a normal conversation and so I'm not going to shy away from that one because I'm trying to have a better language, but that was a bad habit that I developed in college. But I still swear, I still live an authentic life. Like I don't drink as much as everyone else, but if someone invites me to go grab a beer, like I'm not going to say no. Like, you know, there's so much ministry that can happen in those moments, because I'm living an authentic life as a Christian, as a believer. And so I'm trying to take that into my online presence as well. It's like, hey, you know what? Like, here's a funny story. It may not be like the most clean thing, but like, you know, engage with this and then engage with me. And then you can see all the other stuff I'm talking about as well. You know, some people may think it's hypocritical, but I've seen more fruit from it than anything else. So.
Well, that's what gets missed a lot. I mean, there's a few things. There's a term called reciprocal relationship. And what that means is the more that we're around people, the more we want to be like them and the more that we like them.
Yeah.
And that's where people can be like, well, there's a lot of reflex in this situation. And then the more you like, you might be like, okay, that's a bit weird, but you keep hanging out with them and that becomes normal. And then it becomes accepting.
Mm-hmm.
And the second part of it is just being authentic and being true to who you are and showing that even you make mistakes, right? You're not this perfect person or this put on this persona.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times, unfortunately, there's that persona that, you know, you can't drink, you can't have fun, maybe watch the language because how we speak is a representation of ourselves.
Yeah, yeah.
And because I know there's been a few people like you drink. I'm like, I socially drink. I don't. It's like you can drink, just can't be drunk.
Right.
Because then we can look at the pros and cons of getting drunk.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what does drinking do? Reduces inhibition.
Mm-hmm.
It reduces drive. You're more likely to lose your filter.
Yeah.
And might do foolish things that there's going to be a consequence to that.
Right.
With any consequences, there's always a payment.
Yeah.
Whether good or bad.
Right. Absolutely.
So I think that's always important to be authentic to that and go with the mindset of, I'm just going to tell a story.
Mm-hmm.
And people love stories.
Yep.
It's how we connect. That's how we can be better together. That's how we can understand each other, especially when we talk about something painful. And if you're around someone long enough, it doesn't take people long to tell them their hurts and things like that.
Yeah.
And so the key thing, especially in being men, is it's not always easy to share pain.
Mm-hmm.
It's difficult. It's a lot of vulnerability and a lot of things that may go against what you're taught.
Right.
And so with that, how do you kind of relate to other people through, have you found people relating to your stories, whether for a good laugh or a good cry?
I mean, in life, I think, like, you know, real life, I think so. Definitely. Like, the biggest part of my story is that my dad died when I was 10. So I grew up pretty much without a, you know, I had father figures in my life, and I'm super thankful for those men. And it's why I think that it's vital for men like us to be available to younger people, or, you know, even people our age. Like, there are so many people who, you know, grew up or are going through something where they don't have a good man in their life. And so I am living proof of that. And that's something that, you know, a lot of people don't relate to, but, like, they don't relate to losing their father, but a lot of people relate to growing up with an absent father, someone, maybe one that's even there present, but just isn't actually available emotionally or physically or anything like that. So I don't, like, broadcast that, you know, to people. Like, a lot of people ask me about my parents and things like that, and I just refer to my mom, and like, because I never want to drop, like, make the situation awkward. You know, but, like, I am just walking proof that, like, you can get through hard times if you find the right people to be with and to learn from. So, you know, it's just, people relate to that. And I try to also just be like, in my personal life now, like, my wife wanted to get healthier. And I mean, I did too, but she really pushed this movement over the last year to like, let's eat healthier. Let's do this. I found these, I've been doing a ton of research, and I found that this lifestyle supports the things that we want to do more and stuff like that. So, you know, I was like, all right, cool. Like, sure, I'll try it. I'll go with you. And now I am, like, all for it. I try to eat as clean as possible. I'm looking for the least plastic and things. I'm buying organic cotton underwear so that I don't end up with microplastics in my under regions. You know, I'm doing all these things, and she'll say something, or someone will say something, and I'll respond with, like, oh, you shouldn't do that. That's so bad for you. And she's like, look at you, all holier than thou and all these stuff. And I'm like, well, you know what? You created this monster. So, like, it's just like, and I try to, and a lot of people don't know how harmful just, like, things are for you now. And so I try to live that out as well. And like, try to help people realize and relate to it. It's like, hey, like, you're not feeling very well. And it's probably because of one of these four or five things, like your diet, you're not sleeping well. You're not exercising. You're not even going outside, like, things like that, you know? And so I try to do that in a way that people can relate to, is, and that's really the story I'm trying to tell now, is like, hey, a year ago, I wasn't fat. I wasn't, like, super overweight. I wasn't unhealthy by today's standards or anything like that. But today I feel 1,000 times better than I did just this time last year. And I've had some pretty significant changes in my body, and I didn't even try that hard. You know, I just started eating better. I started going to bed at the same time, waking up at the same time, and I started working out 3 times a week. Oh, and, nice. You know, like, and three times a week turned into 7 over the course of a year, because I got addicted to feeling good. And so that's really what I'm trying to broadcast now, is like, hey, like, your health is important, and it's really not that hard to do once you, like, break through the barrier. Like, getting there, starting is hard. Starting anything is hard, because you're not good at it. You know, you don't know what to do, kind of thing. But just show up. Just show up. And I promise, like, if you just continually show up, that's what everyone talks about, is like being consistent. If you're consistent, I promise you, like, you're going to end up feeling better. You just got to do the right things. You be consistent in the right ways. So.
Right. So what are some, like, lifestyle changes that you've made besides like going to the gym and eating healthier. You talk about microplastics and things like that. So what is something that, since you have created this monster, right?
Yeah, right.
So what's like an example of something that people may not be aware of, especially with doing a lot of homework and research, which is always important to do.
Yeah. I think like one of the biggest things that we've been told that we should do is eat vegetables and like things like that. And in our research, and like there's times where my wife's just like, I just really want like a tomato or a salad or things like that. And like, sure, we'll do that. And but like vegetables aren't necessarily as good for you as people say they are. Like a lot of vegetables have, you know, defense mechanisms in their skin and things like that because they don't want to be eaten. It's like, you know, nature, you know, you have a defense mechanisms to protect yourself. And so a lot of things that people eat, and everyone's different, you know, like you should do probably an elimination diet to see what works best for your system.
That's a good way to put it.
Yeah. Like, you know, but like steak and eggs are not good for you, or sorry, they are good for you. People have said like, you know, stop eating so much red meat, stop eating eggs, like your cholesterol, blah, 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 blah. But like, if you really dig deep and find the medical records and things like that, like there's tons of published studies that defute all these things that people have been saying for so long, that your doctors have been telling you for so long. And it's not just coming from me. This is coming from other doctors who actually have critical thinking and have started to do research and be like, hey, like, you know, like heart disease wasn't super prevalent in the 1940s and 50s and things like that. Like, you know, why is it prevalent now all of a sudden? And, you know, if you look at the studies, you look at the things, the sharp rise in using seed oils, you know, like canola oil or, you know, rapeseed oil and things like that to cook with and everything, like those ultra, ultra chemically processed oils that people are saying are heart healthy and everything are actually detrimental to your health. Sure. So stop cooking with those things. That's something simple. Like, and then, you know, like I've mentioned microplastics, but like there's all these studies about how microplastics are being stored in men's testicles, in your brains, in women's ovaries and things like that. Like they're chemically castrating us, you know, with these things that everyone's originally we thought like, oh, plastic's such a great thing. You can reuse it. You can do all this stuff, but like it's polluting our earth and it's polluting our bodies. Sure. You know, so we've switched to glass Tupperware and we drink, you know, out of glass bottles as much as we can. We have this reverse osmosis water system for our drinking water. And it's like we've made significant investments in helping setting ourselves up for success. Now, I'm again, being authentic and living an authentic life, this is what I choose to do as much as I can. But if we go out, like I said, if you go out, you invite me to get a beer, like I'll get a beer. I enjoy a Coke every once in a while. Like, you know, it's moderation. Everyone says like, do everything in moderation, but there are some things that I think like, no, don't do in moderation, do in excess. Like eat more steak, eat more eggs, drink good water. You know, like eat a lot of fruit. Fruit's so good for you. Eat fruit. If you realize that, hey, this vegetable that people tell me is so good for me actually upsets my stomach every time I eat it, stop eating it. It's not good for you. Like your body's saying, hey, like, why are you doing this to me? And I think so many people, because you eat most things like together, you go to dinner, you get a steak and Brussels sprouts or, you know, broccoli or something like that and mashed potatoes. And then you get an upset stomach and you're like, oh, it was the steak. Like, why don't you try the other way? Maybe it was the broccoli. Maybe it was the Brussels sprouts type of thing. Like, just start thinking for yourself a little bit. That's my big thing. You know, just like question everything and test for yourself. So.
Well, I think it's important too, because you're telling you that you're basically the audience really to be in tune to your body. To really take time to be in tune, to see what's effective, what's ineffective, and then pay attention to that.
Right. And so it takes time, you know, like, yes. I think that's a big issue with myself, with society today, is instant gratification. How mm-hmm. I mean, we have so much access to everything as quickly as possible. And so we come in here and we start trying to make these lifestyle changes. You go to the gym for a month, and you're like, man, maybe I've lost 2 pounds. Maybe I've mm-hmm. been able to lift an extra 5 pounds, but like, I thought this would be quicker, you know?
Right.
And it doesn't work that way. Like no. I've been going to the gym, right? I've been going to the gym for a little over a year, pretty consistently now. And, you know, I got pretty strong. Not as strong as I want to be or as other people, but I stopped comparing myself to other people. That's a big thing for anyone listening. Like, comparison's the thief of joy. You know,
it's one of my favorite quotes.
Yeah, it's great. And so I sat down one day on a bench press, and there's a bench press next to me, and I look over and there's a girl benching more than me. And I'm like, you know what? Like, that stings a little bit, but like, I can't look at that and keep myself from moving forward, you know?
Right.
So even recently, like, I've stopped lifting as heavy as I was because I realized like, hey, I'm actually hurting myself. Like, sure, I can do this and I can lift heavy, and maybe I'll gain more muscle faster, but I'm also endangering like my standard of living, because if I can't move as well, like, what am I actually doing? So, right. You know, like, that's a lot of things that you have to just kind of figure out as you go along. It's not going to be instant. You got to figure out the best way to train your own body to what foods make you work the best. What, you know, it's just a lot of that. So, you're right.
No, it's wise, because you don't want to tear your muscle. Now you have to get surgery and you're going to be out even longer.
Right.
And things like that. And that's what happens a lot. And you can find different ways. So I've been working out on and off for, you know, many years. Right. So one thing that someone taught me was you can take a small weight and you can do like a twist to it. And, you know, that's going to activate a different muscle group, which can make the other muscles look bigger. You don't have to.
Right.
Dude, there's a lot of different, you know, techniques and things. And again, I would say, well, what kind of body are you going after? What kind of athleticism do you want to have?
Right.
So do you want to be a long distance runner where you don't want to have a lot of muscle? Do you want to be a swimmer? Mm-hmm. Do you want to be a short distance runner where you might compact a lot of muscle? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So it's always going after like, what do you envision?
Right. That's so true.
And a lot of the bodies you might see are not always realistic.
Yeah, that's also fair.
They take, and extra gear that they take and things like that, which is a lot different from, you know, back then to today. And I watch a few documentaries on those things, and it's just baffling sometimes.
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
And
I mean,
just real quick, your story is just good because it shows you just woke up, went to the gym, and worked on throughout the course of the year of just being consistent.
Yeah.
Right. You don't need to go from, let's say, 300 pounds to 200, right, in the course of a year. If you drop 5-10 pounds, and sometimes I'll have people, well, how much calories, do you know how many calories are in 1 pound? And most people say no. I said, well, it's anywhere from 3,000 to 3,500 calories.
Mm-hmm.
So when you lose that 1 pound, that's what's happening. And also remember, muscle weighs more than fat.
Yeah.
Muscle is more compound. It's more sturdy than fat, just being more loosey-goosey, if you will.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So what were you going to say?
I don't remember. That's okay. Oh. Yeah. I think that's a good point. It's like, I remember now. It's, you know, I just woke up one day and I started going, but I read Atomic Habits by James Clear. And I think, you know, anybody who hasn't should, because it's just like he breaks it down in a way that's just like, hey, just start, you know, if you want to wake up earlier, say you wake up at 8 now and you want to start waking up at 6, like, don't just like jump to 6 o'clock.
Right.
Like, you know, start waking up at 7:55, just like five minutes, like, and then just like slowly work your way down. And that's, I really tried to do that in my journey. And that's what I would tell most people when I talk to it. Like, someone the other day was like, how did you just like start doing it? I was like, I mean, one, the real answer is like, you just start, like, you just do, You know, but like make it right. Make it easy for yourself. Like, how did you get to the gym at 6 a.m. every day? Well, you know what? I started going at 7. Like, like it's really what it was. It's like, I just made myself go at some point. And sometimes I went and I just checked in. I walked around and I was like, you know, I don't want to be here. And I left, but I still made the effort to go.
Right. Still reforming those habits. And that's what Atomic Habits talks about. He talks about, if you want to go to the gym, just go for 5 minutes. Right. And then leave. Give yourself permission to leave. Next time you're going to go, 7 minutes, 6 minutes, 8 minutes. Might go back to 6 minutes.
Yeah.
But have your baseline, your starting point of how much you're going to handle being in the gym, especially, I mean, a lot of times the gym can be very intimidating. You see a lot of times people are in this great shape, or sometimes they have, as we all know, sometimes people like to hark the dumbbells.
Yeah,
for and sure. And all by them and everything. And you're just like, okay, I can't lift 45s, 30s, maybe not even 20s.
Yeah.
I don't know if I want
to. But all the other ones are gone. Yeah. I told this story to my wife when I first started going. I was doing a bicep workout and it was a couple different things. And at the end there, I was trying to lift the 10-pound weight and my arms were so tired. I couldn't do it. I couldn't even do it. And so I was like, so I had to go drop down to the 5-pound weight. And she looked at me and she laughed and she said, you shouldn't tell people that story. And I was like, well, I mean, hey, I still finished, you know, the two sets I had left and I was embarrassed, but I still did it. And you know, and I don't know there, people may have looked at me and laughed in their head. Sure. Like, but are they gonna, am I ever going to see them again? Did I know that they were laughing at me? No.
Right.
You know, like, and I think with social media, you can tell when people laugh at you because they'll respond to your comments and things like that and tell you that you're dumb or you're stupid or you look bad or things like that. But there's a great feature on X that I just found out about because I replied to some big meme account with something and the post, my response like blew up. I checked this morning. It has like 275,000 like views or whatever and 200 comments and stuff like that. But it got to a point where people kept commenting and I realized that I could turn notifications off specifically for that post. And you know what? So now it's just like, I know it's there. I check on to see how it's doing like analytic wise, because we were trying to get to those 5 million impressions. Right. But like, I just stopped reading the comments because like people were being rude and I was like, you know, I just shared my opinion, you know, you don't have to bash me for it.
I've people had one of those where I just stopped responding too.
Yeah.
It's actually ironically it was on steak and eggs.
Oh yeah. People don't understand steak and eggs, but it's so good
for you. Well, no, actually it was I was saying because so I like vegetables and fruits. Right. Mm. And I know we can kind of disagree on the vegetables and that's cool, right?
Yeah.
I like asparagus and things like that because it's healthy and makes my body feel better.
Yeah. Well, that's good.
Yeah. So I just said, you know, it's not just the amount of protein. I always have people also look at how much quality you have, because if you don't burn that protein, the protein will turn to fat. Mm. And then, man, I got mocked. Who was like,
oh, really?
Yeah, I got people throwing research studies at me, and I got people like, you don't know what you're talking about. It's like, you can eat as much of it as you want. I'm like, well, if you're not working out.
Yeah.
And so the one thing we can talk about is portion control with when you have your steak and eggs, right? Mm-hmm. How tall are you? You know, if you're like Zach Strength, right? Who has like a good steak and lots of eggs. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you follow him. He loves it. Mm-hmm. You know, he has a love for eggs and it's just kind of cool to watch at times, honestly. Yeah. But the guy's like, I think like 6'5", let's say.
Mm-hmm.
So if someone who's that can eat a lot more and needs a lot more calories than someone who's like 5'9".
Right.
Especially with him working out a lot where he's burning off all that excess protein.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's the only thing I want to say. So I just, you know, just it's always so funny to have those kind of stories. Like, didn't think it was going to go that way. And then all of a sudden it's like.
Yeah, I mean, mine was that like, it was a picture of Jack Dorsey, who was the old CEO of Twitter.
Yeah.
And it's a picture of him at a Bitcoin conference. And he's dressed in like.
I think I saw that one.
It's been floating around. A lot of different accounts have. And he's just dressed like a bum, in my opinion, you know, like, mm-hmm. And so my reply to it was like, I don't understand why rich people don't dress nicer. You know, like you, you know, like I was like, I have a custom suit that I got for my wedding and it fits me perfectly. Like it was made for me. It fits so well. Like, and I love wearing it because it fits me so well. Mm-hmm. Sure. Getting dressed up takes effort and things like that. But like, if you have the money to get custom made suits, they feel nice. Like people are like, oh, you want to be comfortable. It's like, yeah, but like, I am comfortable in this because it was literally made for my body. Right. So that's what I replied. And then like, you know, I got all these people who was like, you're so vain, you know, they're rich. They don't need validation from anybody. Like they care about other things other than spending their money on stupid stuff. And I was like, oh, okay. Like,
right.
Sure. You know, like I'm totally of the mindset. I mean, I'm wearing a beanie and a hoodie, but like it's cold in my basement. So, but I'm totally of the mindset. Like if you look good, you feel good. If you, you know, like it, there's more a self-confidence thing. Like, so yeah.
Yeah. Like I pretty much don't wear, if I go out, I don't wear really t-shirts. I'll wear like button down or like at least a really nice, you know, t-shirt or something. Not really like any logos or anything at this point anymore.
Yeah. Right.
You know, tuck in your pants and everything. This have a nice little belt, make it look nice. My last belt was getting kind of old and wrinkly. Toss it out, you know, think that I'm able to afford, you know, nice one. But it's how you look at yourself is how you present. Like, for example, if I would have said, hey, make sure you don't look like a slob when you come on this podcast, I guarantee you have been dressed to nine, you know, hair, no beanie and everything else.
Yeah.
Like, hey, man, this is a serious podcast. Like,
right.
So we need you looking good. We need you looking fresh.
Exactly. And it was 6:20 when we jumped on this morning. So I was.
and it's an AM, so we got to give it up for Ben, man. Coming on early.
I get up early now.
What is something you want to speak life to another man? You know, someone who, let's say, kind of like you, a little bit, you know, like average weight, could lose maybe like 5, 10, 15 pounds, let's say at most. Yeah. How would you speak to that man today? Basically, how would you speak to yourself a year ago?
Yeah, I think the biggest power that you can have is to really do some internal evaluations. And to my biggest thing was I started asking God, like, hey, who am I supposed to be? Okay. You know, and I read a quote, it's like, you as a man deserve to see how strong you can become. And so like, you deserve that. You as a man deserve to see how strong you can be as a man. And that's physically, it's also mentally and emotionally. And so then I took that and I was like, all right, God, like you've called me to be a husband. You've called me to be a son, a brother, a friend. Like I know those are a leader, like, but what does that look like? What did you mean when you meant me, when you meant Finn, you know? And so doing a lot of that prayer and self-evaluation of where I am versus where I want to be versus who God wants me to be, it was life-changing. And it really helped me see that, like, hey, like, my wife is her own person, but I'm called to lead her. So her health is my responsibility. It's her responsibility too, but it's my responsibility. Our well-being as a family is both of our responsibility, but me as the leader of this family, it is my responsibility. How can I make sure that she's better and that our family life is better? I have to be better. You know, like a lot of people say, who are you doing this for? Like, think of someone else. And that's good. Like, you know, I think of my wife, I think of any future kids we may have. I think of my brothers that I want to be a good influence for, my mom that I want to help take care of one day, or, you know, whatever it may be. How can I do that if I'm not in my best shape? And that's a good motivation. But really, I started asking myself also, I also deserve that. Like, why am I disservicing myself? Like, who should I be working for? I should be working for myself because I should be the strongest man that I can be and the man that I was called to be. So I think that's my biggest advice to people now is like, hey, like really do some self internal evaluation. Like, Who do you want to be? Who do you think that you are called to be? And then what are the small steps? What are the atomic habits that you can build to help you work there? And it's not going to be an overnight change. And so get that out of your mind, because it's going to take hard work and it's going to be a long time.
I mean, it's a really good point to make that it's going to take time, and to do it for first yourself and then for other people, because if you can't take care of yourself, how can you take care of somebody else?
Exactly.
So Fenn, thank you for just working towards making an impact in lives of men and all the people that surround you and all the help that you're going to be producing through your positivity and content. And on this channel, we like to serve. So first of all, go follow Fenn. Go check him out. Go check all his socials will be in the description below. So go check him out. Go check out his. So you have a podcast. Is it on YouTube?
Yeah, it's on YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and
Podcasts. All right, so we're going to have all of that in the description below. So Fenn's going to DM me. He's going to send me all this information. And that's going to be in the description below. So you can go check, you know, follow him and see his life journey of where he's going from. And he has a good following on X, and that's going to continue to grow, because when positivity has that light, it just continues to shine bright.
Yeah.
And, you know, also subscribe to his channel, Men's Lifeline Academy. And if you're interested, we do have a paid subscription per month with the Men's Lifeline Academy Discord group, where we meet on Mondays, 8 p.m. EST, where we help men through interactive lessons, discords. We have an X growth group that we kind of going through and helping to support each other. Because we want to focus on men helping men. We want to focus on Impact Nation. And we want to focus on being scholars of life. So go out there, study yourself, listen to Fenn's advice today. Start going to the gym if you want to go to the gym. Start improving your spiritual life. And start being the best version of yourself today. And so, Fenn, thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me, man.